You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition and on to day three of Royal Ascot. Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Chris Pimlott will be your team in the studio. We go live from 1:40pm for the action at Royal Ascot alongside Chelmsford and Ripon in the afternoon. An evening action as well, Lingfield, Forslass and Leopardstown. So plenty to get stuck into. Another spectacular day at the Royal Meeting. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me to look ahead to it is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
Good afternoon, Mark. Yeah, good form, thank you. Pleased I'm in a warm, well, warmish William Hill studio rather than down at Ascot, where the weather has been pretty inclement.
Can you remember a Royal Ascot this streak and damp?
There was one about probably seven or eight years ago, where I think halfway through the Friday, I just walked off the track. I just did my head in. My wife was with me and we just decided enough was enough. It was miserable, blowing a gale and chucking it down. So, but it looks pretty similar fare today. Hopefully it'll dry up for Ladies' Day on Thursday, and Friday and Saturday it'll be a bit drier. That's the forecast anyway. So, and we know that Ascot drains pretty well, so fingers crossed the ground is more befitting to the Royal Meeting in the middle of June.
To be fair, the ground could have been a lot worse, couldn't it? The amount of rain they've had is quite a testament to the track and the facilities that it's held up as well as it has.
Yeah, something like 40 mil since Monday. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it, unfortunately? And Ascot seems to be a little bit like that. It's either a blazing hot week like it was last week with scorched turf, and I mean, if you remember the inside of the track last week, which they obviously don't water, the jumps track was barren. There wasn't a blade of grass on it that wasn't light brown. It was like, you know, the old Wimbledons in the 1970s, you know, when you used to see it, or the Oval at 1976 when we had the drought. But obviously a lush carpet with all the rain that we've had, so soft ground horses are coming to the fore.
I know everybody in Britain likes to talk about weather, but let's talk about some of the horses we've seen on show. We're going to take a look back at some of Wednesday's big winners, starting in the opening race, the 2:30, the Queen Mary. It went the way of Raffle Prize for Mark Johnston and a first winner of the week for Frankie Dettori.
Already moving down towards halfway. It's Kimari in the green with Anna's Fast and Raffle Prize from Daughter-in-Law, and then Isabeau and Theory of Time. Over on the far side, Mighty Spirit with a white cap has moved through to head that group from Too Shy Shy and Liberty Beach, and then Apple Cross. Tango's got plenty on, running down towards the last furlong. Raffle Prize and Frankie Dettori chasing Kimari. These are the leading two on the near side. Final Song is chasing them hard. They're heading now for the last half furlong. Kimari in the green jacket being strongly pressed by Raffle Prize. There isn't going to be much in this. Raffle Prize on the near side of Kimari. Raffle Prize and Kimari in a tight finish to the Queen Mary. They're followed home in third by Final Song. Best of those on the far side was Liberty Beach.
So Raffle Prize, the winner, beat Kimari, the American Raider, and Final Song. Great finish as well, Sam. Great start to the day.
Yeah, we've seen some terrific finishes, haven't we, this week? Even with the ground being as it is, they've been finishing pretty leg-weary, but there's been some great driving finishes. And Raffle Prize just on top of the line over Kimari. Nice performance as well for Frankie Dettori to ride the winner and get the monkey off the back quite early in the week. And Mark Johnston to get on the score sheet as well. And, you know, she really stepped up on what she'd achieved before. She was fancied by one or two judges to run a big race this afternoon. And she was just in the right position, just tailing Kimari, who was the trailblazer. Final Song was just that length too far back and just couldn't reel in the front two.
The second race, we saw another tight finish there. Dashing Willoughby, the winner. And a lot of talk going into the week of Andrew Balding's good form and Nasheen Murphy going for the jockey's title. He had to wait till the second day, but he finally got his winner.
Heading down inside the last quarter mile, still the brave Nayef Road to Barbados in the centre, blue and orange. Nearest to us, the nosebound, Dashing Willoughby. This trio clear from Moonlight Spirit is running on, heading towards the final furlong now. Dashing Willoughby, Barbados, just in front to Nayef Road. It's Dashing Willoughby who has the advantage, but but on the far side, Barbados, the blue and orange coming back to him. But Dashing Willoughby won the Queen's Vase to Barbados, Neaf Road, and Moonlight Spirit in fourth, and then Eminent Authority.
6-1, the winner returned. Dashing Willoughby beat Barbados and Neaf Road. Wouldn't it be nice to be in Barbados right now? Better than Neaf Road, perhaps. I don't know where that is. But anyway, Dashing Willoughby the winner, Sam. Talk about the form for me.
Yeah, I'd settle for either, to be honest, Barbados or Neaf Road. He played to sort of be on the speed here in the Queen's Vase. Norway, the favourite, one or two of the other fancied horses were sort of out the back and settled to get the trip. And the front three were the front three turning for home, really, and fought out the finish between them. Dashing Willoughby, who represents the Sir Dragonet form from Chester, tried to make the running that day, faded late on. Norway dashed past him and grabbed second behind the runaway winner on that occasion. But he was ridden with a little bit more restraint and just on the speed rather than making the speed today. And that certainly played rich dividends, because even though he drifted quite violently left in the last 100 yards, he just had enough in reserve to eke out a narrow victory.
The feature race on day two was the Prince of Wales Stakes, Group 1, over a mile and a quarter, the next instalment in the British Champion Series as well. And he went the way of Crystal Ocean for Sir Michael Stout. Frankie Dettori on board, getting a double up on the day for him at that point.
Crystal Ocean with Magical now switching to come and have a crack at him. They've gone over two lengths clear from Hunting Horn. Crystal Ocean in front, passing the furlong. Magical has got within a length. Can she get past Crystal Ocean? Edging right, leaning off a true line. Magical is continuing to pester it. Crystal Ocean is doing enough and takes the Prince of Wales who stakes under Frankie. Magical in second, Valtgeist in third, and Hunting Horn was fourth with Sea of Class back in fifth ahead of Deirdre.
Crystal Ocean has been a bridesmaid rather than a bride, for want of a better phrase, in Group 1s in the past, but he finally got his Group 1 success.
He did, and he was very, very well ridden as well. I thought it was a very shrewd tactical ride from Frankie Dettori, who tracked the Ballydore pacemaker in Hunting Horn in good fashion. He was very alive to the tactics that Ballydore were going to try and exercise there. Ryan Moore was a couple of lengths behind, and Magical perhaps just didn't have the horse at the crucial stage to go upside Crystal Ocean and put a bit of pressure on him. And they turned for home. Hunting Horn was just about to give way. Crystal Ocean took over, booted two or three clear. And in that ground we've seen today, it's been very difficult to make any ground up. And although Magical launched a bit of a challenge and cut back the deficit to just over a length, the fact that Crystal Ocean sort of shifted left and right a little bit in the straight just unnerved the filly a bit. She couldn't get up the head of steam required to get in front and try and nick the Prince of Wales Stakes. And Crystal Ocean was quite a cosy winner at the line. And Frankie Dettori was, you know, go through the full repertoire, the archer's repertoire, where he pulls back the imaginary bow, and obviously the dismount as well. So he was in good form, as was Crystal Ocean, and he's turned into a winning machine really this season.
He's tough, isn't he, Crystal Ocean? So Michael Stout, a little bit was made about his form going into Royal Ascot, the fact that he didn't have many runners the week before, a couple of odds on favourites beaten. He had a winner on Tuesday night, didn't he? And he's had a winner on the Wednesday at Royal Ascot. Anything to read into it, do you think, or is it something of a nothing?
It was very small sample size, wasn't it? The fact that the racing was that dire coming into this meeting that he probably didn't have anything that he could run. I mean, his filly won well enough at Beverley on Tuesday night, and Crystal Ocean's gone all the way to the line there. So I don't see anything in that. Rorda was also narrowly touched off on day two. So for my money, that the horses are running pretty well, and it was something about nothing really.
Let's move on to day three at Royal Ascot then. Plenty more top quality races to look forward to. The feature is the Ascot Gold Cup, which we'll move on to in just a moment or two, but we'll start with the opener, the 2:30, which is the Norfolk Stakes, Group 2 for the 2-year-olds over 5 furlongs. Sunday Sovereign, the market leader, with us here at William Hill at the time recording this, at 9-4. Ayali is 8-1, 9-1 for Maven. Mount Fuji is 9s as well, 10-1 about Ventura Rebel, 11s for Expressionist, 12-1 Real Appeal, and 14s or bigger for the remainder. No surprise to see Sunday Sovereign at the top of the market, has form that ties in with Arizona, actually beat Arizona earlier in the season, and on the back of Arizona's success on Tuesday. I'm surprised he's as big as 9-4.
Yeah, I do think that's a very fair price, actually, because he stays 6 furlongs well, so if this is a real test of stamina at 5, that's going to be perfect. He doesn't lack speed, he copes with soft ground. You've seen him come up the hill at Navan and Tipperary, so he's got most boxes ticked. He's trained by a very, very very talented man in Paddy Toomey. They've stuck with Billy Lee, which I think is a smart move, even though he's switched ownership. He's reasonably drawn in 10. I don't see that being an issue either. And he's just got pace to burn, this horse. I very, very shrewdly backed him for the Coventry after Arizona won, just to enhance that run. Obviously, they nominated the Norfolk after he won last time out at Tipperary, so I did my money. But that doesn't mean to say that I don't think the horse has got immense quality. I think he's a real star in the making, and I'll be very disappointed if he doesn't win.
A lot of positive noises about the trainer, as you mentioned as well, Paddy Toomey. He's got a great strike rate in the limited number of runners and races he's had runners in. If he were to get a Royal Ascot winner at this point in his career, that would be some achievement, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be massive, because obviously King Power have put a lot of faith in him by buying this horse. They've been very well advised, I think. Win, lose or draw in this Norfolk Stakes, I do think that he's a horse going forward that you want to keep on side. It's a tricky race. Air Force Jet is a really talented horse. I had a massive tip for him first time out, and I thought perhaps he should have won. Shamey Heffernan looked after him a little bit and he just got done on the bob, but he won last time out, rallied well to win, so he stays 5 furlongs strongly. And Ashim Murphy rides him, obviously, so he'll be looking to put one over the King Power team with Sunday Sovereign. But I should imagine Sunday Sovereign cost a good few bob to prize away from his previous owners, and they'll be looking for an immediate dividend.
Would you pick him then? Is that the choice? Yeah,
I'd have to go with him. I've got a lot of respect for Air Force Jet, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Simon Crisper's horse, Al Ally, step forward again. I backed him a couple of weeks ago, and I thought he did everything wrong and still nearly won. So I think he's a horse of pretty decent potential. But Sunday Sovereign's had those three runs. He's battle-hardened, and he's just got a lot of power. So I'll be disappointed if he doesn't go very close.
Feature race on day three, one of the big races of the entire week at Royal Ascot, is the Gold Cup, a Group 1 over 2.5 miles, next part of the British Champion Series as well. Stradivarius, the defending champion, is the 6-5 favourite for this year's renewal, 9-2 for Cross Counter. DXB is 11-2, 12-1 Flag of Honour, Capri is 14, 16's Called to the Bar, 22-1 on bigger prices for the remainder. We must start with Stradivarius because he is the favourite, he's the defending champ, whole string of ones next to his name. I suppose if there is one chink in his armour, it's that the ground might not suit him, but apart from that, he's not bad,
is he? And you know, look, he was sort of 13-8, 7-4 in the anti-post markets, and that wasn't a bad bet really for a horse that's won 6 on the spin, copes with soft ground, is a course and distance winner, and won a pretty decent renewal of the Ascot Gold Cup last year. Or I shouldn't call it the Ascot Gold Cup, they go mad, don't they? The Gold Cup. So it was a stunning performance last year to beat Vizirabad, Torcedor, etc., Order of St George. But he faces here a couple of, well, two or three pretty useful four-year-olds. Cross Counter, Melbourne Cup winner, DXB, Derby third, and a horse that's very much on the upgrade, Flag of Honour, who's finished second to Magical two or three times this year. So I think this is a really, really competitive Gold Cup. Personally, with the conditions as they are, I quite like an each-way bet on DXB. He won at Ascot early on in the season. He's lazier than a teenager during the summer holidays, this lad, isn't he? I mean, you can't motivate him to do hardly anything, but thankfully he's got the ever-industrious Sylvester D'Souza riding him. He really does get into him and stokes him up. And I think whatever goes past DXB in the straight, providing he doesn't stick to that inside rail and comes off the inside rail down the middle of the track, I think Stradivarius is going to know he's been in a race here. And you know, I've got a lot of respect for Cross Counter. Whether he'd want it as deep as it's going to be at Ascot on Thursday afternoon is open to question, but I think DXB at the odds, 11-2, you know, 5-1, 11-2, money back if he's in the three. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I think he's got copper bottom stamina, this lad. And, he's already been round the track. The Johnson team are already on the score sheet as well, so they're going well. And he's got a rider full of confidence. So I think there's plenty of positives for him.
Confident each-way selection then. DXB in the Gold Cup. The final race we look at is the big betting race of the day. The 5 o'clock at Royal Ascot is the Britannia Stakes, a heritage handicap. This is for the colts and geldings, three-year-olds only. Rated 0-105, 10-1 the field at the time of recording this. Valorum, the market leader, at 10-1. 11-1 for Migration. King Adamar is 12-1, along with Motta Farwit. 14s for Awe, something I'm in awe of every time. I'm in awe of Sam Turner sat next to me. Beatboxer, 14-1. Yeah. 16s for Davidenko. Also 16s for Hero Hero and Turgenev. And 20-1 are bigger prices for the remainder. Good news here is that if you are having an each-way bet, making it a little bit easier, five places each way instead of four with us here at William Hill, which will help in a race of this nature because it is wide open.
Yeah, and it's a typical renewal of the Britannia, really. You know, 30 runners, difficult to evaluate where the best part of the track is. I think it seemed a pretty level track so far. I mean, we saw in the Sandringham, in the Duke of Cambridge that, you know, low draws weren't inconvenienced down the middle to far side. So I think it's a pretty fair track, and the ground has probably, the natural precipitation has taken away the prospect of any watering, thankfully, and we have got a level playing field, so to speak. So a couple against the field here, and they fought out a finish at Ascot early on in the season. That's Mutter Farwit, who's drawn in four, and Orr, the aforementioned Orr, who's drawn in five. And hopefully the low draws are the place to be here. There looks a bit of quality over on that far side, and the prospect of one or two front runners with a Mark Johnson horse drawn in and around those two selections. But as I say, they fought out a finish here over seven furlongs early on in the season. Mutter Farwit was just too strong at the line that day, but Orr really has learnt on the job since. He ran in a very prestigious handicap up at Haydock two starts ago and got knocked from pillar to post. It was a really rough race, and I thought he did quite well to finish eighth in the end. He's been a horse that early on in his career has been very keen and very enthusiastic and a bit too exuberant, and doesn't really utilise his energy efficiently. But there were signs last time out at Newmarket on the July course where he was ridden a little bit more forward that he was starting to learn how to become a racehorse. And I think up to a mile here with some cut in the ground, and Kerry McAvoy looks a great booking. Now, I probably missed the boat. William Haggis has had two winners already this week at the time of recording, and I'm jumping on the bandwagon with this and Sinari in the last race. So it's probably, as usual, I've missed the wedding and turned up for the funeral. But I do think Orr is a progressive horse. He's running into some form. He's already run at Ascot. He copes with soft ground. The team are in great nick, and he's got a great jockey book. So I think him and Mutter Farwit, I'll probably have a split stakes on those two.
Couple against the field then, and why not, with five places on offer, 12s and 14s respectively, Mutter Farwit and Orr. Leaning slightly towards Orr if you had to pick up the pair.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be, well, brave or foolish and nap him tomorrow just because of the Haggis form, and the fact that I thought he saw it out really well last time out at Newmarket over the stiff seven there. So I think the mile will be within his compass, and I can just see a strongly run race suiting him ideally, and Kerry McAvoy with a patient ride hopefully delivering him at the crucial time.
Good stuff. Good luck with the nap then. Good luck with your selections throughout the day, Sam. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again, and enjoy day three.
And I'm in awe of your guns, Walt, as you well know.
Thank you very much, Sam. A pleasure as always. The runners will be heading to post for Royal Ascot at around about 2:30. The day starts at 1:40 on Racing Radio. Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Chris Pimlott, the team in the studio. Another superb day there at Ascot with Chelmsford and Ripon to keep us entertained. Alongside that in the afternoon, Lingfield, Forslass and Leopardstown to keep the action going throughout the evening. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.